This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
All right, and welcome back to your weekly edition of Cinema Recap for thatmomentin.com. Got your hosts, John Bonham, joined by Mark Jackson. Mark, pretty slow week this week at the movies, man.
Yeah, we were just talking right before we went live that no real wide releases. We know some markets got the new Spider-Man movie very early, but no, I mean, the news kind of speaks for itself. They said it was the lowest box office recording of the year with no new releases. That makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I feel like one of the bigger releases that I saw was just a re-release of Schindler's List. And I'm not even sure if that was playing at theaters near me. So, yeah, not a whole lot going on. Other than that, there seemed to be plenty of news going on in the movie world. So might as well go ahead and kick off the real news this week.
Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone!
I think the biggest thing has to be the Avengers trailer, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's number one, numero uno, the big enchilada, whatever term you want to use. But yeah, it's just a teaser. John, have you seen it?
I did. I was underwhelmed, okay, to be honest. And I don't hate that because, you know, maybe they're avoiding doing any sorts of spoilers, at least initially. I think everybody's really wanted at least a taste of what it's going to feel like. And it's definitely got a dark and grim tone to it. I mean, as they say, you know, 50% of, you know, living creatures in the world were killed. So it's, you know, at this point, it's kind of up to the remaining Avengers to try to turn things around. And, you know, based on the trailer, it seems like Captain America has a plan for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they didn't show a ton. Did you have any main takeaways from the trailer?
They did not show a ton. Obviously, it's a teaser for a reason. But I'm cool with it. To be honest, I've been hearing some news that Disney and Marvel might do some different marketing for this movie, just because, you know, obviously they want to keep things under wraps. I'm sure we're going to see a full length trailer at some point, but I'm interested in them doing something different as far as the marketing goes, because we know they don't need any extra news really to sell this. I would love to see them just, you know, be as secretive as possible. If they just released this trailer and didn't do anything else until, like, whenever it comes, the end of April, I'd be okay with that. I've seen enough. I actually like the trailer. I like kind of its muted tone. I like its dark, its heavy tone. I think it shows just enough. I'm sure there's going to be a ton of reveals in the actual movie that this won't even hint on. I'm cool with it. I liked it. I liked the small pieces. I liked the end with Scott Lang, Ant-Man, Paul Rudd coming at the facility, and presumably, who knows what the timeline looks like. I know there's going to be a lot of, I imagine there's going to be some time hopping, but no, I honestly like the trailer. I was cool with it. I enjoyed all the different pieces, haven't really looked at the analysis and whatnot, but no, I'm going to take the other direction. I really like what they did with this teaser.
Yeah, fair enough, man. I mean, you mentioned that Scott Lang's back, so obviously he, you know, found some way out of the quantum realm, which is where he'd left off in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I think probably the biggest takeaway of the trailer was Jeremy Renner and the transition from Hawkeye to Ronin. Seemed to be a ton of buzz about that online. People seem to love the new look that he's got. I think it's fair to say that Hawkeye was one of the less interesting Avengers in the past few movies. In Age of Ultron, Joss Whedon gave him more of a comedic role, I think, to make him a little more interesting and relevant in the movie. But I don't know. He's looking pretty badass so far. So that part I really did enjoy. And I hope he's got a big part in the finale here.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like they're, you know, going to be fully centralizing on the core Avengers, you know, the guys and the gals that made up the cast from, you know, 2012. And, you know, I think even the simple piece of, like, Captain America, who was, you know, full on beard in Infinity War, he's like kind of got back to his original look. So I think, you know, it is going to be a back to basics in some ways for this particular movie, because you know, some of them are going to bite the dust. So I think, you know, they want to leave us with how they kind of came into this Avengers world, so to speak. So we kind of talked a lot about it. I'm sure we can talk even more about it, but I like it. I like the trailer. I'm cool with them just funneling this out. Don't do anything for a couple more months. And just go with it. You know, no one, you don't need any more types of trailers or marketing to sell this, in my opinion. So I'd love to maybe see them be like the spearheads for maybe like a different type of marketing, because I've always kind of complained that's, you know, I don't think movies need 3-4 trailers, you know, even 2 sometimes. Like if you do one really well or one that gives you just enough and a movie and your movie's good, then just leave it at that and just go with it.
I don't disagree with you, but I just don't see it happening. Yeah. I think they'll definitely do a second trailer release probably sometime around the Super Bowl. Just to, you know, kind of re-wet the appetite for more footage. And I mean, to your point, like, do they need to release more? No. This was far and above the biggest trailer release of all time, at least for the first 24 hours. I was monitoring that pretty intently this weekend to see what kind of numbers it was going to put up. And I think the Infinity War had the biggest trailer with about 230 million views. Mm-hmm. This put up like, what was it, 290? Yeah. So, I mean, not even close. The interest is high. I thought it was going to be maybe, you know, between this and Lion King next year for the biggest release of 2019. I'm back to thinking it's just going to be Endgame in a landslide.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right. I know we had some, talks about the Lion Kings and Aladdin's maybe challenging, but this just was... this was like a refreshing in the mind. Like, yeah, this is going to be the biggest movie of the year, probably of all time.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. So moving on, you mentioned a few pieces of news for Bond 25. It looks like if scheduling works out, Rami Malek is going to continue to ride his high that he's currently on and could be the villain we're looking at.
Yeah. They're eyeing Rami Malek as the villain for Bond 25. You know, from his fame in Mr. Robot, he obviously plays the protagonist, you can say hero, but you know, if anyone who's seen that show knows that it's a very layered show. It's a very layered character, you know, both literally and, you know, non-literally, figuratively, but no, if he takes the role, I would love to see him as a Bond 25 villain. I think he's got those mannerisms. He's got the presence. I think he could pull it off really, really well and kind of be on that level I'm forgetting the name, but Skyfall's villain.
Oh, Javier Bardem.
Yeah, like on that level of villain. I mean, it seems like at least in the Bonds that we've got with Daniel Craig, we've got some good villains and some kind of forgettable villains. And obviously, if the movie is good or great, like in my opinion, man, I'm just forgetting everything today. But Skyfall and Casino Royale, you had really, really good villains, you know, played by really, really good actors. And the movies were really, really good, really, really great. I love Casino Royale. I think it's one of my favorite movies ever. And then you've got, you know, Quantum of Solace, and you've got Spectre, where, you know, Spectre in particular was disappointing. And I think Christoph Waltz, everyone had this huge expectation in their head because he had just kind of come off of that Django Unchained fame. It was not too many years afterwards, and everyone was so hyped to see him in this movie, and then it was very disappointing, his performance and just the character as a whole. So long story short, long-winded, but yeah, I would love to see Rami Malek pull this off if the scheduling matches.
Yeah, man, Christoph Waltz was such a letdown in Spectre. And I mean, the part, I don't think the part was particularly written well enough that he could have done anything amazing with it. Whereas, you know, you look at Inglourious Basterds when he plays the villain. I mean, just a role written to perfection by Tarantino, which, you know, Christoph Waltz was rewarded by, you know, garnishing an Oscar for that. But yeah, so agreed, big letdown. And I mean, right now they're on like an every other type movie for Daniel Craig. They started off great with Casino Royale, you know, dropped off on Quantum, back with Skyfall, dropped back down on Spectre. So if it keeps following this trend, we should be, you know, in for movie magic here coming into Bond 25, which I hope. And I mean, I guess the one other piece for Bond 25 from a casting perspective is Alea Seydo is returning as the love interest, which, you know, she was also Inspector, which obviously means these movies are going to have a connection, which on that note, when we've seen Bond movies connected, if you look at Quantum and Spectre, we have not gotten great results. So what are your thoughts here? Are you okay with her coming back? Are you kind of indifferent? Do you think it doesn't matter?
I'm kind of indifferent, to be honest. I think she was a pretty good, Bond woman. But I don't know. I'd rather them, even if it is going to be, you know, Bond's last movie, I'd rather them maybe bring in another Bond girl with me. They had some okay chemistry, but I don't know if it was anything, you know, like life-changing chemistry or just like electric chemistry. So, you know, I think she's a talent, but my gut, hold a gun in my head, I'd probably maybe just rather she's someone else, you know, as his love interest. Because, you know, they can say whatever they want about, you know, James Bond. Obviously, he had those two movies with Ava Green, and that kind of changed him a lot as far as his actual character, which was cool. But, you know, James Bond is still James Bond. We love him for some of the reasons why, you know, people hate him. You know, he's kind of a womanizer. It's kind of just, it's part of the job. He's got to, you know, do it for king and country. So I would love to kind of see someone else. I don't hate Seydo at all, but I maybe would just maybe like to pivot away from that that Spectre and just give us something, you know, fresh and new for Daniel Craig's last installment as Bond.
Yeah, I'm wondering if they're going to bring her back, but then kill her off early and maybe set him on like a path of revenge, something like that, which I'd be okay with. Yeah. That could be kind of a cool twist.
Sure, we'll see it.
But yeah, time will tell, you know, what her actual role is and how she'll fit in.
Right.
So moving on, I guess just in more casting news, we'll jump to the DC universe, and it's official that Amy Adams is not going to be returning for any further DC films as Lois Lane. I got to be honest, I could not care less. I'm losing so much interest in all the DC movies and the whole universe that, you know, I mean, we lost, I think losing Henry Cavill was something I was a little more interested in just because, you know, when you're losing him and Affleck as Batman, those are like the key characters. Amy Adams in a smaller supporting role, I'm kind of indifferent on. Do you have a lot of thoughts on this one?
Yeah, not a whole bunch of thoughts. Keep it kind of brief here, but you know, I feel like at this point, they might just want to, you know, really go back to square one with a lot of these movies here. I mean, doesn't look like that Affleck's coming back. It doesn't look like, you know, Cavill's coming back. Hasn't been confirmed, but you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. I don't think he's coming back. And with Adams too, I feel like, you know, they it's probably best for them to take a couple years off as it pertains to Superman and Batman. Ride on Wonder Woman for a bit. I guess you can come out with the Flash and all that stuff, but just kind of forget that those two pieces exist, because we all know they do, but they don't maybe need to put a lot of attention on those guys moving forward for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think when you look at the Justice League, there's only really been one, you know, hit so far from a critical perspective, and that was Wonder Woman. And I think another fan favorite is Jason Momoa as Aquaman, which obviously we're coming up to a spinoff, and it's opening huge in China right now, as you and I were discussing earlier. I think it's like $100 million or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they'll probably just focus on those two moving forward, and then, you know, I think those are probably the two key pieces of the franchise. So I think as long as they keep those ones intact, that's my main level of interest.
Sure. Yeah, I got to agree with that.
All right. And I think the last thing we got here is just a switch to the Oscars host, which was originally supposed to be Kevin Hart. And then he came under fire for some, I think it was tweets against homosexuality, like some slurs that he had tweeted out maybe about 7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
that came back to haunt him. And from what I understand, I think the Academy wanted him to make an official apology,
right,
which he kind of refused to do. And he made one on his behalf, but he didn't want it to be like under their guise, if you will.
Yeah.
So he just stepped down altogether. I might have butchered that a little bit. Did you have any more information around it?
He actually got a pretty good summation of it. Yeah, they wanted him to apologize. He refused. He kind of, I guess, brought some context to those tweets, but I wouldn't still call it an apology. So then they gave him an ultimatum, And he, I guess, at some point just like decided to step down. He's probably forced to step down. And ultimately they got to go in another route with about 2 months to go. You know, as far as him as a host, I've always kind of been, indifferent to Hart. I sometimes he's funny, but sometimes I feel like he's a little overrated as far as humor goes for me. So I don't know, I think the Oscar host is kind of a thankless job. It's really, really hard for someone to get it right. Like for me, I don't know exactly who I would have chosen, but Hart to me just didn't strike me as a really sound Oscar host. So I don't miss him not being there. I mean, it's obviously unfortunate that some of this stuff came up. Having those kind of views, it's kind of tough to be behind. But B, unfortunately, everyone makes mistakes. But I think now you just have to. Everyone has to be conscious in the 21st century that, you know, whatever you tweeted at some point or done can come back and can hurt you. So maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing occasionally to monitor some things that you've done in the past, just so, you know, that type of stuff maybe might not happen with as much frequency.
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of Hart, so, you know, I could care less if he was hosting the Oscars or not.
Yeah.
Honestly, I couldn't really think of a movie I enjoyed of his until Jumanji, which really caught me off guard when that one came out last year. But I mean, what he said was terrible, context or not. You know, it shouldn't have been said. It certainly shouldn't have been put in social media. But my qualm here is that, or I guess just an issue that I see. They're essentially going to get to a point where stand-up comedians just cannot host the Oscars, because I'd say 75-80% of stand-up comics have said some pretty, you know, inappropriate things in the context of their jokes. And any of that stuff can be, you know, there's videos of it. They're everywhere. YouTube videos, Netflix specials. I mean, that stuff could get released and make them look bad. So are they just going to get to the point where stand-up comics can't host the Oscars anymore?
Yeah, it's kind of scary for sure. You know, if you want someone to be funny, but, you know, you want them to kind of fit the mold. I mean, a lot of times the funniest comedy is the one that really, really does push the line a little bit. So I'm sure. With you. There isn't really like a clear definitive answer on, you know, where is the line, or, you know, what someone had said years ago. Like, do we need to drag them through the mud that much? It's a really difficult and delicate question, but I definitely see where you're coming from.
I mean, we're just going to get to the point where it's going to be like Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan switching off on hosting the Oscars every other year.
Right, yeah.
Which might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, you might have a point.
I don't know. But, I think that's about it, Mark. Was there any other news we want to touch on?
I don't believe so, man.
Alrighty. Well, we'll wrap up the real news right there and take a break for a few minutes just to hear about some friendly podcasts of thatmomentin.com.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello! Do you like having your podcast interrupted by promos? Probably not. So we'll keep this brief. My name is Chris.
My name is Mike.
And my name is Justin. And we just wanted to introduce ourselves. We're the Casual Cinecast.
We're a weekly podcast that reviews current movies and TV, as well as the occasional dive into classic cinema with the Criterion Collection.
We cover everything from Black Panther to Black Narcissus.
From Solo to Sallow.
From Love, Simon to Simon of the Desert.
If that sounds good to you, look us up on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. We'll see you there.
You know, or something, because we probably won't actually see you. But
yeah, we don't see them when they listen.
Right. Well, okay. Back to your podcast.
Hello, everybody. My name is Daverne, and I am the host of the Cinema Recall podcast, which you can find at thatmomentin.com. On each episode, myself, along with a great guest, we will discuss in detail an iconic scene from a classic movie. So come check us out. We are available on Podomatic, on Stitcher, and most other places you can find podcasts. We are also on Facebook, just type in Cinema Recall, and we are also on Twitter at @cinema_recall. We hope you enjoy the show, and thank you for listening.
All right, and welcome back to Cinema Recap. Mark, pretty boring weekend recap. I mean, it's literally an exact replica of what we had last week.
Yeah, exact replica. I don't even know if it's much to really fly through. I mean, you can kind of roll through the top five very fast, but yeah, not really much to delve into, to be honest.
I'm putting the burden of lousy movies back on you. It's very simple. If you stop going to bad movies, they'll stop making bad movies.
Uh-oh, the jig is up.
Yeah, I'll breeze through them. I mean, the 1 through 6 are literally the exact same. I'm going to skip the numbers, too, just because I don't think anything drastic has happened. But we've got Bohemian Rhapsody at number 5. It's been out for 6 weeks now. Got Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald in the 4 spot in its 4th week. Got Creed 2 in the 3 spot in its 3rd week out. I've got Dr. Seuss's The Grinch in the 2nd spot still. Been out for 5 weeks now, so... very impressive. Certainly still a lot of, Christmas spirit and interest around that one. And last but not least, we've got Ralph Breaks the Internet in the number 1 spot again for the 3rd straight week.
Yeah, no changes.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything else you want to touch on, by all means. You mentioned actually to me that you'd watched Roma not too long ago. Was it today even?
Yeah, I watched it today. It's obviously going to be a huge player on the war circuit, directed by Alfonso Cuarón of Gravity fame. Foreign movie. It's gotten nominated as best foreign movie at the Golden Globes. Very, very striking, visually beautiful movie. It is a little bit of a slow movie. To me at least, it kind of finds its groove a lot in the second half. Got to me more emotionally than I had anticipated. But there's a little bit of a slow, methodical watch. It's not going to be for everyone, but everyone can watch it if they want to, because it will be out on Netflix this coming Friday.
Oh wow! Okay, there you go. What's this one even about?
That's a really, really good question. It's kind of hard to summarize it, but essentially, you've got this family. I wouldn't necessarily say they're in turmoil, but there are things that are going on that they deal with in essentially Mexico. It's kind of like a snapshot of that Mexico, that time, and some cultural touchstones of things they've got to deal with. They have a maid that is dealing and going through a lot. She's essentially the central character. So she transforms quite a bit throughout the movie. It is kind of like a family drama. You definitely have a little bit of a romance aspect too. It's even kind of horrific kind of in some scenes. I wouldn't say it's a horror at all, but there are some pieces that are very, very uneasy to watch. And I feel like I've kind of just vaguely summarized this entire movie, but I would recommend, like I said, it's probably not my favorite movie of the year or anything like that. And if I was put into my top 10, it'd probably be a little bit more towards the end of the top 10 than like at the top. But it is a very visually striking movie. It's a little long, 2 hours, 15 minutes, and it does start a little slow. But the direction is what's going to stand out for a lot of people.
Okay. And you said this upcoming Friday, it'll be available for everybody to watch on Netflix, correct?
Yeah, I haven't heard of anything else that's that would prevent it from being made. So, and this entire movie, I think, was cultivated and produced with that in mind. Like Netflix kind of wanted to do something different with this. So there's been some pushback from people in the industry, like, these Oscar movies, need to be seen on the big screen. And I do think, with this movie, it might benefit a little bit from being seen on the big screen. But, with that said, they are making it available for everyone to watch. So I think it would behoove people at least give it a shot.
Okay. Well, you did mention this one was up for Golden Globe for Best International Film. With that, should we just transition into touching on the Golden Globes a little bit, since the nominations were officially released?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and do that.
All So yeah, we won't go through a full-blown recap of everything on here. I think, you know, we'll probably save that for when the Oscars are here. We'll dedicate an episode just to a, you know, pretty detailed breakdown. But I think we'll just run through a few that, you know, particular interest to us. You know, Best Motion Picture Drama. Black Panther, I believe it's the first superhero movie to be nominated. Is that correct?
I think you're right. Yeah, I'm trying to run my head here, think if they had missed anything else. But no, I think it is. It has that distinction.
You know, one issue I have with that is, and I like Black Panther. It's a really good movie. But the fact that this was the first one and The Dark Knight was never nominated for a Golden Globe or an Oscar just absolutely baffles me.
Well, yeah, that's everyone. You know, I think it's and that not getting, you know, nominated was really the impetus and them expanding the list from, you know, 5 nominated movies to 10, or they have a max of 10 you can nominate. I think there's still some difficulties with that 10, but I mean, that's them not having that movie nominated is ultimately why there are more opportunities for other movies to get nominated. But we still haven't seen an actual movie, superhero movie, get that nomination really until now, Black Panther. And even then, we'll see if that sticks for the Oscars. But I mean, got a shot now, you know, with this coming. So. Typically, I forget what the stats say, but I do think that part of what goes on here at the Golden Globes does translate in some ways to what we'll see at the Oscars. Not necessarily because there are splits in categories, but you can maybe take some of the what you've seen here and possibly apply and project it to the Oscars.
Yeah, I think the only thing it has going against it is the fact that it was released, you know, almost a year ago, whereas a lot of these movies, which are, you know, more particular to the awards races, they're strategically released around, you know, when the Globes are going to be. So, you know, A Star is Born, Bohemian Rhapsody, these are both very fresh in people's minds.
Yeah.
I think A Star is Born is going to win this. I also think it's going to sweep like everything. So I'm probably a little biased. Bohemian Rhapsody again, enjoyed it. Should it be up there for a best motion picture? Not in my opinion. The only other one I thought was interesting was Black Klansman, because you were a big fan of this one, right?
Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite movies of the year. I'd say it's like top three at this point. So I like that it got nominated for drama. Kind of with you on Rhapsody, or at least kind of what I've heard. I will have to check it out at some point. I actually have a screener to do so. But you know, with the Golden Globes, they're in a way they are kind of filling up slots, you know, just because they have those two different categories. You've got the musical / comedy, and then you've got the drama. So, you know, that's why you might see something like, you know, Bohemian Rhapsody there. Everything I've heard is, you know, it's really good music wise, but, you know, everything else kind of falls short. So I think that getting nominated is best. It's not something that's going to stick for the Oscars. But yeah, I mean, I like seeing Klansman there. I like seeing Black Panther there. Obviously, Star is Born has been one of the best of the year. I've not seen if Bill Street could talk. I will get around to that before the end of the year. But yeah, interesting category. You also have to think of the Golden Globes. Those, like, I think the term people use is like it's kind of the redheaded stepchild of the industry as far as like awards go. So. Kind of something where people like to throw movies out there sometimes, maybe movies that might not get the recognition at the actual Oscars, the big boy things, but they will get a little bit of a cursory, hey, you guys did a pretty good job here, so let's, you know, give you a token recognition, token nomination here at the Golden Globes.
For sure. So, you know, you mentioned there's obviously two separate categories for Best Picture. The other one's musical or comedy. You know, checking out this one, I did finally watch Crazy Rich Asians. I wasn't a huge fan of it. I think if this one wins, that's kind of a letdown when it's got some strong contenders like, you know, Green Book, Mary Poppins, Vice, all in the same category. I've heard great things about The Favorite as well, so I'm pretty interested to see that one. But yeah, I mean, two of the movies, I mean, Vice is, you know, nominated a bunch, and it's not released for another, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, so... really curious to see that when it does come out here. But yeah, I mean, you got a chance to check out Green Book, right?
I have not. No, I unfortunately did not have thoughts on that yet. I'll get around to it eventually and be like a broken record here. But no, you know, Green Book got a couple of nominations. I don't want to say it's coming under fire in some ways, but it does seem like it's underwhelmed at the box office, that's for sure. I feel like sometimes some people, I think some people's issue with it is it's kind of just, it's very simplistic where, you know, you've got the black guy and you've got the white guy, and basically, you know, the white guy, how I understand it, is kind of like the savior, more or less. So I think it's come under more fire than people have anticipated. I'm still going to watch it. I'm sure it'll still be good, but it seems like I don't want to say huge award shots have been shot, but I don't know, with all this, I call it a little quote unquote controversy surrounding it, is going to be healthy for like some of its eyes on, you know, doing big things at these award shows.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely, you know, its best shot would be in the acting category with Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali.
Yeah.
So be curious to see if those guys are able to walk away with any awards here.
Right, right.
You know, when I look at actor and actress in a drama, I think it's got to be Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. I mean, does anybody else stand out to you with a chance?
Realistically, no. I'm kind of surprised that a couple movies didn't get more love here, but Ethan Hawke in First Reform, I think he was amazing in that movie. Mm-hmm. He didn't get honored here. I think John David Washington is excellent in Black Klansman, but no, I think the name and, you know, what people have seen most is probably going to lead Cooper and lead Gaga to wins in their categories. Though Glenn Close is awesome in The Wife. I've seen that movie. It's actually in my top 10 currently. And Melissa McCarthy, she, you know, her best acting role to date in that movie. But no, I don't think realistically either one of them is going to get challenged by anyone else in this category, to be honest. And I'll be surprised if someone else does take it from them.
Yeah, same. Was First Reformed a pretty good movie?
Yeah, I think I don't want to say it's awesome. You know, it is a little bit of a slow watch. It gets very intense though in the second half. And yeah, I mean, it might be Ethan Hawke's best role. He's done a lot of good stuff, but yeah, I'm kind of surprised he didn't at least get a nomination for it. I think they had pretty good money on him getting something. So for him not get anything is a little disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to check that one out. A few more acting things that stand out to me with musical or comedy. I mean, Christian Bale in Vice. I don't know if you watched the trailers, but I mean, he looks amazing, and he underwent a huge physical transformation for this one. So I've got to imagine he's got that unlock.
That's par for the course. He will, you know, throw his all into just about any role here if it requires him to, you know, be debilitating and weak. He's done that. But if he needs to gain weight and just completely change his appearance, he'll do that too. We saw it in a couple movies, but the last one I can remember he's done it in was American Hustle. So yeah, he'll just go all in and you know, really transform himself literally and nominally again, figuratively.
Yeah, I mean, in The Mechanic, he lost like 30 pounds. He was a twig. Then he packed on a bunch of muscle for Batman.
Right.
Got huge for American Hustle. I mean, cannot be healthy what this man puts his body through.
Not at all.
but luckily for us, we get some great performances out of it.
Absolutely.
excuse me. And Vice got some more love too. It's got Amy Adams, Best Supporting Actress. It's got Sam Rockwell back when he's playing George Bush in Vice. So I'm pretty interested to see this movie, man. It's just got a ton of great buzz around it right now.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the reviews seem, or from what has come out, it seems like there's a lot of good stuff surrounding it. The cast is huge. You know, Adam McKay has proven his kind of dramatic, Oscar storytelling with The Big Short. So yeah, I'm interested. Maybe more so than I would have been, but yeah, it's coming in a couple weeks.
Yeah, when I first saw they were making a movie about Dick Cheney, I could not have been less interested. But then when you see that Adam McKay is directing and he brought back, you know, such an amazing cast, it definitely gets some interest going.
Right.
I mean, other than that, Mark, were there any nominations that stuck out to you that you wanted to touch on?
Any nominations here? I don't want to say for certain. I mean, I've kind of already, led with my thoughts. It's kind of hard to take a whole bunch away from this with just the layout of the show. I will say, you know, maybe one nomination that I at least would have gotten or loved to see that didn't get nominated. I wish she wouldn't have won, but it would have been nice to see her nominated was Toni Collette for her role in Hereditary. I think she had one of the best performances of the year by any female as far as, you know, lead actresses go. I like Close. I like Gaga. I've yet to see Destroyer. I like McCarthy a lot. I haven't seen Rosamund Pike either, but I don't know. You know, that movie, it got some really, really stellar reviews. I think, quote unquote, critics loved it more than, the average moviegoer. But I mean, she was one of the best things, if not the best thing about that movie. So I would have loved to see her get some love for it. But you usually don't see horror movies or, you know, movies that have a horror lean to them get honored a lot, especially from the cast. So I guess it's not surprising, but when I did hear her name start to get some buzz, I thought maybe we could see something, but, you know, she's not getting anything. You know, obviously I'm not holding my breath for any other, you know, reveals as far as nominations go for her.
Yeah, man, I forgot about that. She was amazing, that movie. I don't think I loved the movie itself as much as most, but I mean, she did an amazing job. She was super creepy at times. So, I mean, just phenomenal acting.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see Sam Elliott get a nomination for Star is Born. I was actually kind of shocked that he didn't, because I think a lot of people were looking at him as kind of an Oscar favorite.
Yeah. And I guess I feel like with him, we could maybe still see his name come Oscar. Oscar season, literally Oscar season, we're in it now, but you know, when the awards come out, I still think we can maybe see his name. You have a pretty impressive cast though there of characters that have been nominated. It's kind of a deep pool. I've seen everything except for Sam Rockwell and Vice, and I mean, I'm sure he does great in the movie. But yeah, my gut says we're probably gonna see his name come Oscar season. Oscar nominations revealed. So I don't know. I wouldn't put too much stock in him appearing, but that's my guts, my takeaway.
No, I agree. I still think we'll see his name pop up. I was just kind of surprised that it didn't initially hear. But excuse me. With that, I think we need to do just a real quick run through of what we've got coming up this week.
Let's do it.
Coming soon to theaters.
So the three big ones are Mortal Engines, The Mule, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I think that one's probably going to win the weekend, right?
Yeah. The excitement for this has really exceeded more than I thought it would get. And the reviews are still very strong. I think that it's still 100% on Rotten Tomatoes as of this recording. So, you know, people are going to check this out. You're going to get families coming in this. You're going to get, you know, people obviously who don't have families who are just into comics. They're going to check this out too. And it seems like there's, you know, some different things going on as far as storytelling goes. And some people are calling it, yeah, one of the best superhero movies ever, you know, regardless of it being animated or not. So yeah, I see this, finishing pretty high. I don't know what number do I want to throw out there? I will say I could see it doing, I'll say 50 million.
Okay. I was going to say 40.
Well, there you
go.
So,
are you marking this down?
Yeah, I'm marking this down. You're at 40, I'm at 50. So we'll see what happens.
But yeah, it's got great word of mouth going. So I'm expecting some pretty decent numbers.
Yep.
The other two, The Mule, again, Clint Eastwood directed, starring in it, Bradley Cooper, Lawrence Fishburne, Andy Garcia. It's got a big cast. I really hope he recovers from the 15-17 to Paris, which was just an absolute disaster earlier this year.
Right. Yeah. You know, I like Clint Eastwood. I don't know. I'm interested, and yet I'm kind of not, for whatever reason. It's really hard to – I haven't seen a full trailer for this, so I'm kind of just going to go in as blind as I possibly can. I know generally what the movie's about, but I'm just going to try going blind, maybe be surprised, and see what happens.
Yeah, the trailer's not doing too much for me, but I think I'll probably wind up reviewing this one this week, I would imagine.
Cool.
And last, and maybe least – Mortal Engines, from what I gather, this was like a popular novel a few years back, and it's about like, I don't know, post-apocalyptic type thing, and I don't know. I've tried to read the premise of it. It just really doesn't, you know, catch any interest for me. So I think this is going to be kind of a huge box office bomb.
Yeah, I'm the same. We talked a little bit about the prospects of this. I think it was last week, but I'm not interested really. And, you know, if I had a shot to check it out, I would, but I'm kind of full in on Oscar mode right now. So I'm going to have to just pass on it and, you know, maybe have someone else on the site to hopefully cover it.
Yeah, I hear you. Just hope it's not me.
Right.
Well, with that, what do you have going on this week? What should we expect from you?
I will be working on a post for Roma. Hopefully I can have that. It's a little busy this week, but I can think by the middle of the week, definitely by Thursday, I should have it done. Roma's on my docket. I think I'm going to get around to seeing Boy Erased 2 at some point too. So okay. If I can do that, hopefully I can have that done too by the time we reconvene for next week.
All right, sounds good. I think I will be doing probably The Mule this week. I'll try to catch that one on Thursday and get a review out for it. And then I think next Sunday, the Vern's going to join us for our top five of the year, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. I want to say it's top five. We're kind of floating out a couple of ideas. I don't know, maybe we'll have to try to fit in a Christmas movie one here too at some point. But yeah, it's one of the two that's happening. I can't forget exactly what we're doing next week, but one of those two is happening. Might be the top five or might be a Christmas theme episode, but we are going to do something. We're going to do a special.
Yeah, we have to figure out what it is.
Yep.
All right. Well, with that, I think we'll go ahead and wrap things up here. Appreciate the time, and we'll catch everybody next week.
Take care, guys.